I'm a sarcastic tone. I'm a bit underwhelmed by the sample show now. Mr. Pistro, fraternity guy, you cup of asshole, bloodshot eyes. Get drunk and fight every night. Idolize Bradley, belittle women's rights. Homophobic, racist, and don't give a fucking hey. Do you think you can drive a bigger truck? So wear your baseball cap to the side to let everyone know that you're a nice guy. So cool, we're so impressed. Lots of chicks and a barrel chest. Cause you're a real man. Punch for punch, gonna piss in your face while you're passed out drunk. I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. A nice guy who speaks through his fists. Prick with a penchant for messing with heads. A broken nose for dinner and breakfast in bed. Alcoholic, paranoid, and suicidal too. But you'll probably kill her before she gets away from you. Swears in a pool of blood and cry. All your friends say that you're a nice guy. Have a drink, this one's on me. Look, you're doing fine, losing to your disease. Tomatoes, I'll pack your bags. Bury you alive, cash, ready to go.
Everybody, welcome podcast listeners, welcome people on YouTube. If I put this up on YouTube, this is the Plex. We do the show live every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific and beyond into red light. Just a quick note, I think we'll be off next week for this show, though don't know for sure. Check our Discord for that information. Also, we're off of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week, so our next live stream will be Thursday after tonight. You can support this project at patreon.com/echoplex. And if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you head on over to Twitch, twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. Give us a follow there. And I don't know, think about subbing to the channel. And I have a great docket tonight. But before that, this is what the people want.
I don't hate the cops. There's a person inside when the truncheon stops. Oh, don't hate the cops. Oh, when the raiders come, who will protect the shops? Don't hate the cops. They're a sensitive bunch. If you don't stop throwing your rocks, snap, crackle, pop is the sound of a taser. Your body drops. Don't hate the cops. But don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops. But don't hate the cops. Thank your local police, cause they don't do nothing wrong. Thank your local police, got rid of the corruption and the racism is gone. They've been keeping the peace, keeping homeless folks out of the parks and malls. Got a cure for your social disease. Follow the law, don't hate the cops. 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 You didn't hate the cops, 'cause they don't do nothing wrong. Don't hate the cops. You can't blame them for just doing their job. Don't hate the cops. Well, you gotta wonder how much would it cost for you to be shot at and stabbed at by maniacs and drunks. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops.
All right, our first story for tonight is Tucker Carlson. He's almost always our first story. He thinks that the NSA has been spying on him.
So Joe Biden told us recently that the single gravest terror threat we face is not Islamic terrorism, ISIS, or Al-Qaeda, as the government has told us for 20 years now, since 2001. It's not the brutal mobs of race extremists who burned and looted our cities last summer, BLM and Antifa, as if you'd been paying attention, you would assume it would be. Of course, they're the ones who burned the cities. No, it's none of that. The main threat we face as a nation, Biden told us, is white supremacy, white American terrorists. And our law enforcement and intelligence agencies have concluded that. The president said it's an established fact. And then he stopped. Strangely, that's all that Biden told us. He never said who those white supremacists were. He didn't explain what they believe or what they plan to do to America. He announced no arrests of any of them. He didn't name a single person or organization.
I mean, I could name them.
The white Osama bin Laden, Joe Biden did.
Your viewers, Tucker.
Neither did his attorney general, Merrick Garland, when he reiterated Biden's claim several days later. So the rest of us were left to wonder, who exactly are these domestic terrorists? We still don't know the answer, and neither do many longtime FBI agents, as we learned this weekend when we spoke to a couple of them. Biden's claim is absurd, they told us. It's not even close to true. In recent years, there have been so few crimes committed by avowed white supremacists that the FBI strongly considered dismantling the office within the domestic terror division that investigates white supremacist groups. As the agents we spoke to put it, the number of cases the program manager had didn't justify his position. There was nothing for him to do.
Huh?
For decades, by contrast, the greatest domestic terror threat has come from radical environmental groups. They commit
what?
The most crimes. Look it up. White supremacists, meanwhile, are at the bottom of that list.
What?
Federal statistics prove it.
No.
Americans are, in fact, much more likely to die from a lightning strike than at the hands of a white supremacist. White supremacy may be ugly, many opinions are, but it is not a meaningful threat to the nation, and claiming otherwise is a lie. So why does the Biden administration persist in telling that lie? Well, it's a racial attack, obviously. It's waged for partisan political purposes. You tell black voters that Republicans are the KKK, and maybe they will keep voting for you. That's the idea. It's certainly easier than fixing Chicago or raising test scores, which they should be doing.
Ooh.
But there's also a deeper significance. The Biden administration is signaling a very real change to actual federal policy. The war on terror, now ongoing for 20 years, has pivoted in its aims. The war on terror is now being waged against American citizens, opponents of the regime. We saw this on display on January 6th. We told you a couple of weeks ago, based on language and publicly available indictments.
Oh, he's going to say this shit again about how he thinks that the FBI like planned the January 6th.
That the FBI clearly had foreknowledge of the riot at the Capitol then.
Anybody who had Facebook knew that was going to happen.
This weekend confirmed that is true. Quote, the FBI had sources in that crowd, confidential sources, snitches. That's 100% certain. But it's not just political protesters the government is spying on. Yesterday, we heard from a whistleblower within the U.S. government who reached out to warn us that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is monitoring our electronic communications and is...
They're monitoring everyone's electronic communications.
...planning to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air. Now, that's a shocking claim, and ordinarily we'd be skeptical of it. It's illegal for the NSA to spy on American citizens. It's a crime. It's not a third world country. Things like that should not happen in America. But unfortunately, they do happen, and in this case, they did happen. The whistleblower, who is in a position to know, repeated back to us information about a story that we are working on that could have only come directly from my texts and emails. There's no other possible source for that information. Period.
Except the people you were texting and emailing.
Captured that information without our knowledge and did it for political reasons. The Biden administration is spying on us. We have confirmed that. This morning we filed a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, asking for all information that the NSA and other agencies have gathered about this show. We did it mostly as a formality. We've also contacted the press office at both NSA and the FBI. We don't expect to hear much back. That's the way that usually goes. Only Congress can force transparency on the intelligence agencies, and they should do that immediately. Spying on opposition journalists is incompatible with democracy. If they are doing it to us, and again, they are definitely doing it to us, they are almost certainly doing it to others. This is scary, and we need to stop it right away.
They're doing the Hoover maneuver, like that's what the Snowden stuff was about, is that they're collecting all kinds of stuff, and then they'll use it later against you if they think they need to. They shouldn't be doing that, but like, I don't think somebody like, first of all, whoever Tucker was emailing with could have leaked this information or whatever, however you want to say it. How does he know how confidential his sources kept things? The other thing is he could just be lying, could just be making it up. He's a big old drama queen after all. But yeah, the NSA is, was it Prism? I think it's Prism is the name of the program, where they're just kind of sucking up everybody's communication. Oh, by the way, there's an NSA officer surely assigned to this show. Hi. Hi. How are you? Hope you're enjoying your night. Pour a drink. It'll be fun. Don't worry. It's not the worst gig. Having to spy on this show, not the worst gig. You've seen other people's Twitch channels? Not the worst gig. Anyway, pretty sure Don Jr. is high as a motherfucker in this clip right here.
Be like, I don't think Joe's smart enough to be like, hey, let's send him off the trail. Don't hack the McDonald's on DC. I mean, why doesn't he just give Putin, like, I don't know, the keys to the nuclear football? What's the list? Don't hack, one, Joe's basement. Two, Hunter's businesses. Three, Hunter's laptop. 10% for the big guy. Four, don't hack that. What's going on?
What's going on is it looks like he's been hanging out with Hunter Biden. He sounded drunk in that. Other people were saying hi. I think he sounded drunk, like intoxicated on alcohol, or possibly like barbiturates or some kind of downer. But I think it was just alcohol. I think he's drunk as fuck in that. I don't know. I don't think it was like uppers, that's for sure. It did not seem like uppers, like cocaine or methamphetamine or anything. Seemed like alcohol or possibly some kind of downer. Well, I mean, alcohol's a downer, but you know what I mean? Some kind of like pharmaceutical downer. Yeah, it sounded more like drunk. Everybody else was like, oh, he was high on cocaine. I'm like, high on cocaine, your like eyes are darting and you're like, you have like an insane amount of confidence. You tend not to be slurring. And he was slurring. So I think it was alcohol. I think he was just drunk. Whatever. I look at the camera and talk at it drunk too. Maybe I'm not one to judge, right? Tomi Lahren's back for some inexplicable reason. No idea why Tomi Lahren's back, but she's back. And she's outraged that Melania Trump didn't get on the cover of Vogue.
Entire rest of the time. Tomi, what did you think about this when you heard about this? Yeah, and furthermore, beyond just how beautiful Melania Trump is, let's also keep in mind the fact that she is a legal immigrant who speaks several languages. Yeah, and if she had been the first lady to a Democrat president, she would be spread all across Vogue magazine. But we know that there are two different standards. And it's not like I would expect them to put Melania or any other female conservative on the cover of any of these trash fashion magazines. We don't expect that. And quite honestly, I don't think
Vogue is a trash fashion. I don't know anything about fashion, but my understanding is that Vogue is not like a trashy magazine. My understanding is that it's supposed to be classy. I don't care. I don't read it.
What's frustrating to me is these feminists who claim that feminism is for all. Let's just drop the charade. Let's drop the act. Feminism is not for all. It's for liberals and only for liberals. So let's just be honest about what it really represents.
Feminism is when you don't put Melania Trump on the cover of Vogue. Act like you know.
I think that's a very interesting point. It's as if there's no such thing as, you know, a conservative that feminists admire, right? Take a look at this headline. This was
That's not true at all. They're like feminist women liked Laura Bush, and she was a conservative. Or she's I don't know, she's moderate or something. Whatever. She wasn't super political, but she was a Republican, I think, and feminist ladies tended to like her just fine.
Except in Kenya, and this was the one of the few pieces that they did about her. And I'm not just talking about Vogue; I'm talking about all these magazines, which I think Tommy's right. I think a lot of people pay, you know, almost zero attention to any of these magazines.
Well, then what the fuck are you doing talking about them? And why is Tommy Lahren hella fucking pissed off that they didn't put Melania Trump on the cover of Vogue then? Like, it's like when people fucking call and yell at me like every once in a while and be like, nobody listens to your show. And I'm like, what are you doing on? Why'd you call?
But it was the title was the funniest reactions to Melania Trump's out of Africa inspired wardrobe in Egypt and Kenya, Marie. She was really just like a punching bag for them.
Well, clearly we care because we're talking about it. So let's not pretend like nobody cares about
this.
Well,
I'm just saying.
That's the last time you're going to be on Fox, whoever you are.
These magazines is nowhere near what it used to be. They're vastly less popular than they used to be. Go ahead.
But fucking TV news is not as important as it used to be either. Like, people come here for some version of the news. They go to the internet for the news. That's like Vogue. Yeah, people get their fashion on Instagram now. Like, all of this old style media is a lower percentage of the media diet of people now.
Look, Vogue has also had spreads with conservative women. There are many conservative women that I think Vogue would put on their cover. I think Melania Trump represented so different an administration that was Donald Trump. Her husband, the president's comments about women, about minorities, about immigrants.
Okay, that thing she's wearing is gross.
Biden has had similar problems with the nuzzling and the shoulder rubbing and all this stuff. I mean, Joe Biden.
I don't know why they cut it there. They should hire me over at Crooks. I mean, hire is kind of a weird word. I don't think the Crooks and Liars is like a tree that money falls out of, but they just cut it at a very weird time. But yeah, there have been conservative women on the cover of Vogue, but who fucking cares? They just told me they didn't care. Like, oh, it doesn't matter. They're irrelevant. The irrelevant fucking CNN is mad at me again, like Donald Trump was saying. Well, what I will say about Tommy Lahren is that she earned her position. She's not a result of nepotism as far as I know. Next person we're going to play a clip of is a result of nepotism. So at the intersection of, can I speak to your manager and do you know who my father is? This is Meghan McCain, and she's announcing her departure from The View.
So I am just going to rip the Band-Aid off. I am here to tell all of you, my one,
I got to go find a lighter,
and the viewers at home, that this is going to be my last season here at The View. I will be here through the end of July to finish out the season with all of you, which I am grateful for. This was not an easy decision. It took a lot of thought and counsel and prayer and talking to my family and my close friends. And, you know, look, COVID has changed the world for all of us. And it changed the way, at least for me, the way I am looking at life, the way I'm living my life, the way I want my life to look like. And when I said goodbye to all of you in the studio over a year and a half ago, I had just found out I was pregnant. I left the city very quickly because my OBGYN wanted me to leave because he wasn't sure about how COVID could possibly impact pregnant women. I came to the DC area, which is where my husband and I have always split time, and it's where I grew up splitting time. And we have this incredible life here. We're surrounded by my family, his family, by friends, by this incredible support unit. And I think as any new mom knows, when I think about where I want Liberty to have her, you know, first steps and her first words, I just have this really wonderful life here that ultimately I felt like I didn't want to leave. On a professional note, this show is one of the hands down greatest, most exhilarating, wonderful privileges of my entire life. And I have had so many amazing experiences in my life, and this is definitely one of the top. It is a privilege to work alongside such strong, brilliant, intelligent, incredible broadcasters like the four of you. You are the most talented women on all of television, hands down, and it has been so incredible to be able to do this with you. Before I came onto the show, I didn't want to join the show, as I think I've talked about in the past, and it was my dad who encouraged me to do it. He said that I could never give up an opportunity to work on such an iconic show and to work with Whoopi Goldberg, and he was right. It was one of the last things he told me to do before he died, and since we've been here the last 4 years together, we have won an Emmy, we've gone to number one,
you've been the most dunked on person on Twitter.
On the cover, my personal favorite of the New York Times Magazine is the most important political show in America. We have all interviewed every presidential candidate. This is the show in America, and it is not easy to leave, but I feel like this is just the right decision for me at this moment, and I just want to thank all of you, Whoopi, Joy, Sunny, Sarah. I also want to thank Abby Huntsman, who was a good friend of mine, continues to be a good friend of mine, and has really helped me with this decision and ushered me through this process. And I also really want to thank our incredible leader, Brian Tetta, our executive producer, who is the heart and soul and Morpheus of this show. And I would not have had any success on here without you. Your leadership is paramount. We are grateful to have you. At least I know I am. And I want to thank Kim Godwin, the president of ABC, for being so respectful and understanding. And to this incredible crew and the producers and everybody who makes this work every day, again, you're the best in the business. I wish nothing but continued success and good wishes and good luck to all of you and to this show. And I'm just eternally grateful to have had this opportunity here. So seriously, thank you from the absolute bottom of my heart. And I will still be here another month. So if you guys want to fight a little bit more, we have four more weeks.
Well, you know what? It has been quite wonderful to sit across from you. Your dad was very smart. He wanted you to be here with us because
dad was really smart. Yo, that's literally now the only reason she's there, because he told her to do it, and then he probably got a hold of Whoopi.
Help toughen you up for what was coming, which was
so true.
You know, this wonderful baby you were going to have, and his departure. So it was an honor when he said, "Please take my child." He didn't say it like that. But he said,
"She's a pain in the ass too."
Please take my child.
It's okay.
Yes, he did say that. He did say that.
Total pain in the ass.
So it's really something. That's right.
You know, we'll be hating.
That's right. You remember that, Sonny? You were sitting next to him. You said, "What?" I'm sorry. What did you say?
Yes, I was here for that too.
He also told me that he told me to take it easy on Megan, that I would learn to love her and understand her, and that she would be a pain in the ass. And he was right about all of those things.
But she's just wrong about stuff all the time.
Talk every day.
Yo, do you think she was pressured to leave because she wanted to take time for her? She wasn't pressured to leave because she was going to take time to like have a baby, but do you think that she was pressured to leave? They're like, "Hey, well, you know, we think it's time for you to move on. We'd like to get a different host anyway." I wonder if that was the case, because all she does is gets dunked on all the time, like on Twitter.
All the time. After the show, we text during the show, and I'll miss those conversations. I think you have a really important point of view.
Whoa, they text during the show. Oh my God. If I text any of my co-hosts during the show, I am not happy with what's going on.
It's just been wonderful, wonderful.
Also, Sonny, I hope I can share this, and it's not too much information, but he is dead now. But my dad also backstage was like, Sonny is just gorgeous. That woman is striking. And then they went on air and had this like connection
we
on air. And
I was
like,
That's a little, he's like, she's like a grown ass woman, I understand, but that's like an old man at that time. I don't know if I'd be saying that about my dad. If he was like attracted to a woman like a third his age or whatever, I don't know if I'd ever be saying that about my dad. If he ever told me that, I'd keep that shit to myself.
I was like, I don't know what. If anyone rewatches it, I think he had a crush on Sonny, which is kind of uncomfortable, but awesome too. But if
you watch throwing mom under the bus too, all right.
He goes, we really connected. And I was like, okay, well, fantastic, you guys.
Megan,
you're a pretty woman when you saw one.
Good for you, though. You know, it's a full circle moment to know so much of your dad's words brought you here, and yet your calling for your daughter and your family is what takes you away. I think it's beautiful. It speaks to the paradigm shift that is the world now on the heels of a 2020. And it has been an honor to sit here with you.
Me too, Sarah.
You are a tough... That's all I can say on daytime TV.
You can say bitch on TV.
You are the best part about working with you is that you see the light and beauty and positivity in everything, which is not a gift I have. And even
wait, Abby Huntsman is possibly only on there because her dad is John Huntsman too. Although she seems like way more put together, and she doesn't get dunked on all the time for her dumb takes.
Tense situations on this show, you can always bring levity and in life in general, and you know, you're just like this ball of light, and it's, you know, it's a pleasure to be around it. So
thank you.
And Joy, I will miss you too, even if I will miss discussing with you, and you know, I wish nothing but the best for all of you.
We have, you and I have had our disagreements. We've had our fights. We also had some drinking moments, which were rather fun and interesting.
She just told her, she's like, I can't hang out with you unless we're drinking. That's what she just fucking said.
But I have to say that, you know, we have in common, you and I have in common, as do all of us here, that we're on a show where we stick our necks out. We take the blowback. We take a lot of hits on this show, and we stick by our points of view. You have done that brilliantly for 4 years. I hope that you can say that I did the same thing. I really, really appreciated the fact that you were a formidable opponent in many ways, and that you spoke your mind, and you're no snowflake, Missy.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Thank you, and thank you, Joy, and really, like... Yeah. It's just, this show's incredible, but my final note to the world watching, this show will continue. The show will probably be on long before all of us are here, like we're long gone. The media needs to do a better job of covering the women on this show in general. As Joy pointed out, it is not a fair fight. We are covered with deep misogyny and sexism by the media.
Yo, no, we talk about her all the time, and I dare you to find me saying anything sexist about her. And you'd be hard pressed to find people saying sexist shit about her in my chat either. She's wrong and never admits that she's wrong. And then like gets mad when she gets called out for being wrong. That's not misogyny. It's the same thing I say about Sam Harris.
If five men were doing what we do every day, I really do believe that we'd probably have a Pulitzer Prize at this point. And it's always reduced to, you know, really reductive coverage. And I implore the media to do better as they cover the rest of you going forward.
No one wants to watch five men do this, Megan. Yeah. Then they've tried. Yeah, they've tried that with five men watching talking. It. No one cares.
Yeah,
fair enough.
It is the one thing that we can say about this show. When you leave here, you can take on anything.
So
you
true.
Because everything possible has been fired at you.
Except like a history test.
When you leave here, you're a better person, better woman, better mother, better friend. And so we got a month together. Let's make the most.
Yo, I don't think that the people going after her were sexist. I imagine she received sexist comments. Don't get me wrong, right? People probably said hella sexist stuff to her. But I know my criticism and the criticism of the people that I pay attention to and the people that whose content I enjoy about her is never sexist. I I don't know. I mean, and the other thing is my chat here. If I said something sexist about anybody, y'all would not let me off the hook on it. You know, that's why I like the chat here. If I fuck up, you guys let me have it. So anyway, I don't know. I wish her good luck, but I don't. So that's about it. I hope she runs for Congress. Chat thinks she's going to run for Congress. I think she's going to do some kind of like Dave Rubin thing. I think she's going to do like a YouTube show or like a podcast about how the left has lost their mind. I think that's like a really like the path. It's like the path of least resistance, not just for her, but for if it was another conservative woman leaving The View, you know, it's just the path of least resistance. So I think that's probably the likeliest next step. It's the easiest thing to do, and it's the surest way to make sure the money keeps coming in. So we've been covering this guy. He's I don't know if he's former Capitol Police or if he's still in the Capitol Police. It's Michael Fanone. He's going to talk about how he met with Ilhan Omar about January 6th. And he's going to basically say that people got her all wrong. And here we go.
Of me and my family. I also had the opportunity to meet with Ilhan Omar, which was an interesting interaction. I think she went there initially to speak with one of my colleagues from the Metropolitan Police Department, who was from the same area that she grew up, which I found to be like incredibly genuine and meaningful for me. It was a big deal for me to be able to bring those officers up on the Hill and have lawmakers express their appreciation to them and show them how supported they are. But my interaction with her was very unique. I think when I asked to shake her hand and she shook my hand, I told the press there that, you know, if they publish this photo, they need to put the headline up that hell has frozen over, which was obviously just poking fun at the fact that, you know, she's gotten a reputation, I think, of being anti-law enforcement, which, you know, from some of the conversation I had with her, I found to be untrue. And that's been true really across the board. I think a lot of people who, you know, a lot of our lawmakers who are covered by certain media outlets are given a reputation or a moniker that they're, you know, anti-American or anti-law enforcement. Again, like I found that, you know, with my personal interactions not to be the case.
Yeah. Yo, so the reason like I know that it's like, that this guy's a cop and it's a little bit weird. First of all, there's no song called Fuck the Capitol Police, right? But I think this guy's an interesting story because I think this guy was probably conservative. I think this guy may be generally a conservative guy. And I think he may have bought into some of the rhetoric about how anybody on the left or whatever is like irrationally angry at the police. And I think that we may be watching a thing where this incident on January 6th is going to like change this guy's mind. And I think that's like why I like clips of this guy. I think we're like watching someone. I think he may be a former cop now. He may have retired, but I think we're like watching someone go through a change in their position, a change in their opinion. I think it's pretty interesting. So anytime there's a clip of that guy specifically talking about his interaction with lawmakers, we're probably going to run it because I find that really fucking fascinating. Also, like, I'm not sure if the Capitol Police, like their job is to protect like one building. I don't know what kind of like reputation they have as far as how they treat civilians. If somebody has more information on that, I'd like to hear it. But that guy seems cool. He seems like a nice guy and he seems like he went through a traumatic experience and he's trying to process it. And I think that, I think we're going to be covering that guy for a while. I wouldn't be surprised if that guy runs for office at some point. And I'm not kidding. And I'd love to have somebody with a neck tattoo who used to be a Capitol Police person now in working in the Capitol. I think that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So speaking of January 6th, there was a guy getting interviewed by like a local news reporter. first of all, check the still shot here. Like why would you take an interview like this? I don't care who knocks on the door. If I don't have a shirt on, I'm putting one on. I don't care if I'm expecting someone, even if it's someone I'm going to hook up with, I'm going to put a shirt on. But just watch what happens here. This is great. Like right in the middle of his interview, watch this.
I'm a documentarian, and you know, when as like you guys, when you guys hear of something, you guys show up as you do now and ask questions or record and see what happens. So that's what I was doing there.
So there are photos of you reportedly kind of stomping on camera equipment and stuff. Is that you in that picture the FBI is putting out?
I would not like to comment on that, but I'm working everything out with the courts and whatnot, and that's that.
Wrecked. Fucking wrecked by like a local news reporter. But sir, there's pictures of you that you appear to be destroying things. He's like, oh, I'm not going to comment on that. I was just there to observe. I was observing, doing a journalism. That was great. Poor guy. Actually, no, fuck that. That isn't that poor guy. So this Eric Trump's been out and about, talking about, well, you know, I believe, was it the CEO of the Trump Organization was indicted? I don't know. I haven't been following it closely enough. This is what I need the media wench here. She follows this like electoral, like this kind of mainstream politics stuff more than I do. But here's Eric Trump. He's like, actually, my family's squeaky clean.
Question here, Eric. Are you concerned that they may send an indictment your way, your brother's way, or your sister's way?
You know what? I'm not, Eric, because guess what? You know, we've always lived amazingly clean lives. And believe me, if they could have, they already would have, right? I mean, that's what they wanted. That was their end goal. You know, the difference is I'm not Hunter Biden. I'm not selling paintings to undisclosed people for $500,000 a piece. I'm not doing, you know.
Right, but if that's illegal, he shouldn't do that either.
Drugs in shady hotels. I'm not.
No, but your brother is. But he's doing it at his own condo.
I'm not going out and soliciting prostitution, and I'm not going out and
sex work,
you know, selling
work.
Influence to Ukraine and China and having lavish trips paid for while, you know, my father's commander-in-chief. No, I'm not doing that. You know what we do?
Wait a minute. All the stuff that you're accusing Hunter Biden of seems to have happened when he wasn't the president. This guy's stupid. This guy's guilty as fuck. I don't know if he's going down or not, but this guy's guilty as fuck.
They've really, you know, nice, clean lives, and we work very, very hard. And guess what?
Nancy Grace is like, they're guilty. They're all guilty. That's what I feel like now. I feel like Nancy Grace.
Before politics ever came into, you know, our lives, we were in the business world and we were successful and we worked very hard and we lived clean lives. And it was very different than the Bidens, who were never in business until their father actually got into politics, and they've milked it for everything it's worth, and they still do it to this day. And, you know, Eric, where is the DA there? You know, when you have text messages of prostitutes and hard drugs and money laundering and all these other things that are on Hunter Biden's laptop that have been.
What was on Hunter Biden's laptop?
So many different times. Where?
Like, during the whole Hunter Biden's laptop thing that was happening, I was just saying, can anybody explain to me what happened in like 10 sentences? And nobody could. Nobody could explain it to me.
Where's the district attorney? And where is the attorney general? And do the scales of justice only go one way? And
well, no. I mean, I guess it's illegal to smoke crack in a hotel room, but like, if he already did it, like, what are we going to do now? What now? Okay, so here's another one. Here's him with, it looks like, here's Laura Trump, Eric's wife, which is disturbing, on Fox, talking about the indictments that have come down on their the Trump organization.
Priorities, you know?
Oh, and cube-headed Dan Bongino, too. He blocked me for calling him a cube-head.
Yeah, it is so outrageous to see this. You're exactly right. People that are committing real crimes are just being let go. Nothing is being done about it. Let me be very clear with people. What we saw happen to Alan Weisselberg today was absolutely disgraceful. Had this happened to anyone else, we are talking about 5 years of an investigation by Cy Vance, the district attorney. We are talking about 3.5.
Yo, if they've been investigating you for 5 years and they indict you, they got the goods, probably.
500,000 pages of documents, because they're so desperate, Dan, to find anything on Donald Trump, because they.
No. When you look at someone's documents, you just get the documents. You don't be like, well, I really want the documents, but what I really want is like just 15,000 pages of the juicy stuff if you could give it to me. That's not how that works. What happens when someone asks for discovery? The other side will always give them as many documents as possible on the chances that they don't see something. If somebody was suing you, the best thing you could do if they ask you for documents is give them every goddamn document in the world.
They want to disqualify him from running for president in 2024. The best they could come up with was a corporate car for the CFO of the Trump Organization, yet they paraded him.
No. Oh, yo, in this kind of thing, what they do, is they're not going to hit him. They're not going to go public with the big shit. They're going to get him on something that seems trivial. And then they're going to interrogate him. And during the interrogation, they're going to go, well, we seem to have evidence of these other things and we could look into them. Or you could start talking, start telling me about Don Jr. Start telling me about Melania. Start telling me about Donald Trump. That's why the initial charging cases like this, this might end up being a RICO case. That's why the initial charges on this, all they're not trivial, but they're small because they're keeping something back so that when they interrogate this guy, they can be like, hey, we have this on you, actually. We haven't gone public with it. It'd be very embarrassing for you. Would you like to make a deal? That's how this works. I think it's shady and maybe they shouldn't do it, but that's how this works.
Him into criminal court in handcuffs in front of these horrible people in the media. It was a disgusting display, yet you're right.
Michael Cohen's running around too. I don't run clips of him, but I want y'all to remember, just because Michael Cohen's telling on Donald Trump don't mean you should trust his ass either. That is a slimy motherfucker who's out only looking out for himself.
Real criminals go. And by the way, what about Hunter Biden?
Absolutely. Yo. He smoked crack in a hotel room. Some people do that. I'm sorry. I don't think that's that big a deal.
Broke the law numerous times. Yeah. Nothing.
Mention his laptop. Come on. Mention his laptop.
Done about that. They go out of their way to try and disqualify Donald Trump. It is disgusting. And the message it sends to every single American is if this can happen to Donald Trump, think about what they could do to you. Disgraceful.
Yeah. Hunter Biden's a protected class. You know, he's a Democrat. So, Governor, Kamala Harris.
Wait a minute. Dan Bongino has a show. He's asking questions. He's got a Fox show. Anyway, yo, I don't give a fuck what Hunter Biden did. In fact, all the stuff I heard about him, he was like getting high and getting fucked. Cool with me. Everything was consensual. If he was getting high and having sex and shit with people, it sounds like everything was consensual because nobody's saying it wasn't. And they're out to get that guy. I also want to know, like, what is the deal with the laptop? Because I think there's like no story there. I think that like there's nothing. I think that the laptop thing was like, I don't even know. Here's one more hit of Eric Trump on Fox News. Actually, we're squeaky clean.
Well, Raymond, this is what we've been dealing with. I mean, this is what we as a family deal with every single day, and it's horrible. I mean, you have a little girl that got, you know, shot in Times Square 2 weeks ago. You had a Marine that got shot in Times Square literally two days ago. Crime is rampant. People.
But the people that committed those crimes are going to get arrested.
Are leaving the city in record numbers. It's dirty. It's disgusting. New York's no longer what it is. And they have an entire district attorney.
Well, maybe if they clean up the mess that people like you cause, people want to live in New York City again, Eric.
Office and attorney general's office that's focused on $3.5 million to take down a political opponent. I mean, this is what they do. This is New York State for you. This is worse than a banana republic. It's truly horrible. It's truly horrible. And Raymond, you know this better than anybody. They're afraid that my father is going to run in 2024, and they're afraid that he's going to win. So they don't look at corrupt Hunter Biden. They don't look at the fact that he's taking money from China and the Ukraine.
Is Donald Trump even going to be alive in 2024?
Selling his finger paintings for $500,000 to undisclosed people. No, they don't care about any of that. They care about going after innocent, great human beings. Alan Weisselberg is one of them.
If Alan Weisselberg was the head of the Trump organization, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that was not a decent human being. People in middle management and below in that organization are probably, most of them are okay people. You got to work, right? But I think the people near the top of that organization are probably all fucking slime balls and most likely criminals.
Donald Trump and going after a political opponent.
Eric, the Associated Press just dropped a story moments ago, and it says the Trump organization.
Who's cutting these? Man, who's cutting these? These people all need to hire me. That doesn't take any time. I'll do that shit for $10 a video all day long. I quit my regular job. I could do 100 of those in an hour. I can make $1,000 an hour. All right. So, we're gonna have to start being a little picky about what stories we do here, because we're gonna run out of time. I mean, we never run out of time, but you know what I mean. We're gonna run out of time on the podcast, and we are trying to give people a quality podcast. But we're gonna keep going in order here, because this is what Mark Zuckerberg did today to try to pretend to be like. He's like, look at me, I am a human person on 4th of July. Here's Mark Zuckerberg.
West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains.
Nope, that's hella fucking copyright. But like, what is he doing? Is this real? Is that him? Like what? All right, that's all. We had to play that, because that was like, what was that? That was like a small boat, like a small speedboat attached to his feet or something. How much do you think that fucking thing he was riding costs? He was just kind of, obviously the flag, it wasn't like a sail, right? The flag was actually slowing him down. So like, what was he doing there? Like, how much was that thing? Was it fake? Was that all fake? I mean, is Mark Zuckerberg even real? I don't know. You ever seen him walk? All right, so we're gonna move on to we'll skip a story here, and we'll move on to Tiny Dancer Ben. He's a big sports fan, in case you didn't know. This is him. This Tiny Dancer Ben saying, "If you believe in traditional natural."
And it does come down to things like what you see in your daily life pissing you off. Right? It does come down to things like the NFL, for example, putting out full-scale commercials saying football is gay. Okay, now, let's be real about this. Football is...
Wait a minute, yo. Football is gay. Football is gay.
You off. Right? It does come down to things like the NFL, for example, putting out full-scale commercials saying football is gay.
We got to get that for the set. Football is gay. I gotta have that on my soundboard.
Okay, now, let's be real about this. Football is football. It's not gay. It's not straight. Football is just football. The hell does the NFL have to say about sexual politics? When you turn on a game, typically it's because you wish to watch people play football, not because you wish to watch the NFL socially message about any particular social issue.
Listen, I got to tell you, football is pretty gay. I mean, I know it's a demanding sport, but I mean, you're wearing tight clothes. If you're the quarterback, you're putting your hands in some places. I mean, football, it's pretty gay. It's not quite as gay as professional wrestling, but it's pretty gay. I mean, I'm an expert on this shit.
Whether you're talking about hands up, don't shoot, which was a lie, or whether you're talking about homosexuality in politics.
I thought he was going to say if you were talking about homosexuality, which is a lie, but he wouldn't give me that. He wouldn't tell me that my life is a lie. So we'll take the small victory. We can get it.
And yet this is what the NFL is pushing, because they feel the cultural momentum from the left. What they don't understand is sooner or later, there's going to be a backlash, and it's going to be quite ugly against a lot of the same institutions that have been renormalized on behalf of radicals. Most Americans have been apathetic about these sorts of issues. The harder the left pushes, the more the backlash is going to be. The greater the backlash is, the more polarized the country becomes. There is no apathetic middle anymore. You will not be allowed to be apathetic. You will not be allowed to say things.
Yo, the message the NFL was trying to put out, maybe they did it inartfully, but they were saying basically that gay people can play sports too. How many great athletes do you think didn't play sports, particularly men, because we live in this kind of shitty patriarchy where athletics, for the most part, except like fencing or something, is usually associated with stereotypical and to some extent masculinity that's toxic. How many great athletes have we missed out on because they happen to be gay? I mean, I don't care that much about sports, but think about that for a second. And maybe if the NFL wants better players and more fans, more people to spend more money, then they should definitely want gay men in the NFL. First of all, if he's hot and he's gay, which seems to have happened recently, then more gay dudes are going to watch that guy's game because he's hot and he's gay. It's just marketing. They're like, oh, we get more people to watch. Oh, it's Pride Month. Yeah, just say the NFL's gay. It's fine. They probably even knew they were going to get the backlash.
The NFL sexual politics is, I just want to watch football. That in and of itself will be evidence of your discriminatory nature.
Wait, what?
Here's the NFL ad. It says, football is gay.
Fuck yeah.
Interesting. Football is lesbian.
Yes.
Football is beautiful.
Sure.
Football is queer. It's life's exciting. It's transgender. It's bisexual. Football is freedom. Football is American. Football is accepting. Football is everything. Well, it isn't. Football is everything for everyone, except if you happen not to believe in the morality of particular sexual behavior. If you...
Yo, dude, that's fucking mask off shit right there. Then when Ben Shapiro is actually quite moderate. When he starts talking about that shit, that's not moderate. That's far right. Like far right culture war shit. And the other thing is, I don't give a fuck if Ben Shapiro thinks that the sex I'm having is immoral. It's a little... So there's a clip of me. Maybe somebody could go look. You'll see one. And I would... There's a way in which I'm a little disappointed. But... Like, they just want more people to watch football.
Traditional natural law morality with regard to sex. Football is apparently not for you. If you believe in going to church and you actually read the Bible, apparently football is not for you. When they say football is for everyone, they mean everyone will be forced to agree with us, and then football will be for everyone.
No, that was marketing. It was Pride Month. And they probably knew that some dipshit like Ben Shapiro was going to pick it up, and then fucking people were going to dunk on Ben Shapiro and take the NFL's side. All this culture war shit, the shit that's going on. Do you think the marketing departments at big organizations and big corporations aren't aware of like this, the way that the culture war plays out and how they can use it to market their product? Of course they are. This is what Justin Friedkin always says, that these people are playing not just the right, but the left too. Like the Dr. Seuss people, when they did that shit, they're playing everyone because they knew that the fucking outrage machine was going to come out, and they did it. They had made the announcement for that reason. This is all just marketing, and it's working. I mean, I'm here for it. As long as we're aware of it, we can have fun with it, right? So Right Wing Watch got taken down off of YouTube and then reinstated. But in the time between when they got taken down and reinstated, everyone's favorite, incredibly anti-Semitic person, Rick Wiles, had some things to say about the reason that Right Wing Watch was taken down. This clip, if you could believe it, is from Right Wing Watch. Shout out to Right Wing Watch.
I suspect that there will be layoffs very soon inside the organization because...
How do you get laid off? They don't have any fucking money. Unless he's talking about YouTube. Right Wing Watch... It's not like, oh man, I wish we had Right Wing Watch money. I mean, I guess they have a budget, but it's not like, oh man.
There's no platform for them to spew their lies and propaganda.
But their lies and propaganda are always just clips of you, Rick Wiles. They're just giving me a clip of you to make fun of. Hey man, Milo's on his network now. Somebody's got to be stylish, and I guess now it's Rick Wiles.
So, the writers... Their editors, all the people that they had working to smear us and other ministries. What are they going to do? I suspect they're going to lose their jobs this week.
Everybody at Right Wing Watch is going to get fired. These people are probably, I don't think that people are like really like employed full time by Right Wing Watch, people from the American Way. I think people are probably on contract and they submit stories and they get paid like per story or whatever. I'm assuming that it's no different than any other small sort of blog or media outlet that has some amount of money to pay people.
You know, if they get saved and come to know Jesus Christ and fill the Holy Spirit, we're hiring. But they got to be saved. They have to love Jesus Christ. They have to want to see the gospel expand it. I don't want to see them... out of work. But I tell you, the first thing that came to my mind today, you know, the Bible tells us not to gloat
right
over the demise of our enemies. But Romans 12:19 sums it up very well. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And in, this is a prime example in real time.
Yes.
Where we didn't fight back against Right Wing Watch. I did what the Lord said to do. Bless them.
Dude, this guy's been complaining about Right Wing Watch for years. He ain't mad at them. He's been asking like the Lord to smite them and shit.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I never prayed God burn their building down. I just, you know, Lord bless them.
What kind of building does he think Right Wing Watch has?
I didn't hire lawyers. I didn't sue. I turned it over to the Lord and said, you deal with my enemies in the way you see fit. He shut down Right Wing Watch today. Let me make this very clear today. Jesus Christ shut down Right Wing Watch.
Amen. Amen.
Not YouTube.
Yo. Not YouTube. Jesus Christ shut down Right Wing Watch today. This is an example of God working through unsaved people at YouTube to carry out his vengeance against those who attack and smear his servants. And so I didn't have to lift a finger against Right Wing Watch. I think they'll disappear in the coming weeks and months. There's no purpose for them now.
Dude, if they got kicked off of YouTube, we would still be using them as like a primary source for fucking stupid people like Rick Wiles. They'd just be on Vimeo. Or it'd be really funny if they went on to one of these free speech, like if they went on to Rumble or BitChute because they got kicked off of YouTube and then the people on Rumble kicked them off. That would be so funny. I think Right Wing Watch should be posting all their shit on Rumble anyway. But yeah, Jesus didn't take out Right Wing Watch. YouTube either made a mistake or, I don't know, maybe they got report bombed. Dingleberry QQ, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I got to take that out of the chat. That's somebody new comes here. They might think that's something different than what it is. Anyway, Mike Lindell. He's going to get rid of the communists and the Supreme Court's going to help.
You don't even have to deliberate and say, what do you think of the evidence? They're already going to say, hello, it's a coffee cup. I mean, it's
hello.
Or it's a, like I've used the example, you know, is this a coffee cup? They all then go, yes, this is all the PCAPs from the election. Donald Trump won. We got to vote 9-0 immediately to pull this down and get rid of whatever the communists that are here.
We got to pull this down, get rid of the communists. This guy like sounds like he's struggling to say everything he says. Here's Mike Lindell talking about his next movie and the Supreme Court again.
We're gonna try and get the movie out, Absolute Cover Up, this month. So those
we're gonna watch
that
it.
Are in this, they should have front row seat because okay. They can tell everybody why they tried to cover it up. But okay. This will be all the evidence. Okay. Here's the packet captures. Now try and tell us what I've had all along. Why we okay. should not pull this? Get this
the
to
evidence
the
in the packet
By the
captures.
Way, right after
yeah, we've seen his evidence. It's like just what looks to appear like a server log from like a web server. That's all. It's just like IP and MAC addresses. I have a server that I could print out a log like that and be like, look, Mike Lindell's trying to hack us.
For the Supreme Court. So as soon as the cyber symposium is over, we're bringing it to the Supreme Court. And now everyone in the country, everyone in the world will have seen it. It's 100%. That's why it will be 9-0.
Yo, Lisa says what? This would be his third or fourth movie. We've watched all of them. We watched all of them. They were good. And by good, I mean good for us. They nonstop gags. So here's Steve Bannon talking to Mike Pillo. They're going to talk about the Dominion lawsuit and how it's, wrong.
This case speaks to something that's much larger than Mike Lindell and Mike Pillo. What this is trying to show is trying to shut up the business community and businessman to say, hey, If you raise your voice, if you try to have any opinion at all, we're going to come and sue you. And most business people are going to sit there and calculate, hey, you know what? The legal is going to cost me this. I'm going to lose customers. I'm going to do it. I got to focus on the business. They're just going to
But if his
up.
Business is just selling pillows, he shouldn't really care who the president is. Like if it's just selling pillows and linens and shit, why the fuck do you care who the president is?
This is to get people to shut up and just go along. This is how, hey, look back in the 1930s. Don't take it from Steve Bannon. Read the history of the 1920s and 1930s. I'm going to pick a random.
First they came for the person who made pillows.
Just look at the business community. Look what happened. You can't look, if you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians get total control and total power. Okay? Just read the history of this. That's what this case is about. This case is they wanted Mike Lindell to shut up, and they went to the heart of where he got his resources, MyPillow. Is that not right? Yep. This is really, they want every businessman to shut up, and they're telling you, if you raise your voice, if you have an opinion, I'm going to go after your business.
No, he was using MyPillow ads after he got kicked off of Facebook to push the same lies he was pushing as himself. That's why they're also going after MyPillow. They didn't make him do that. MyPillow was running ads on Facebook saying that the election was stolen after Mike Lindell had been kicked off of Facebook. That's why they're going after Facebook. They were blaming Dominion voting systems. Oh, we almost got through the whole docket here. I think we're going to end this with a Dumb Dumb Dave Rubin here. Definitely going to end this with Dumb Dumb Dave Rubin. And I'm not sorry that I'm not doing an ad hominem against Dave Rubin either. I will ad hominem Dave Rubin until the end of time. Here's him talking about the media being obsessed with Donald Trump. And this will be our last clip before we go into red light. I got some weird shit tonight for red light too. Here's Dave Rubin. We don't usually do Dave Rubin on the Sunday show, but because I'm here by myself, I'll do what I want. As we say, homo alono.
So why were Jake Tapper's ratings really great in January? Let me think for a second. Guys, was there something happening in early January? Was there some sort of fraudulent second impeachment and a whole thing?
Wait, no, that's not what happened in early January. I think Dave's had work done, but that's a different story. In early January, people tried to stop Congress from certifying an election. They tried to do it by force.
Horns in the
Capitol. Yeah, that was good for ratings.
And something. It was like an episode of The Simpsons. Yeah, these people need Donald Trump. Donald Trump became God to these people. He became the center of the universe to these people. And without Donald Trump, nobody wants to watch their drivel. Nobody wants to watch their Democrat propaganda. And Tapper is now suffering because of that. And the fact that they gave him an extra hour, and that didn't help. And the funny thing is, in good times, when the country is open and I go around and I speak and I go to colleges, when I give talks, and I obviously talk about cable news a lot and censorship and all of these things, CNN is the punchline. I don't even need a joke.
But I just say, well, CNN. That's good because you're not very good at telling jokes. We've watched some of your stand-up in the past couple weeks, like late at night, when we're like drunk and sort of inclined to think things are funny. In fact, this place was a bit of a giggle factory last night because of something else we were watching. So we're not uninclined to laugh if something's funny. It's just that if the punchline's CNN and you didn't tell a joke, you just didn't tell a joke.
Start laughing because it's so ridiculous to them. So this is really interesting. And if you wonder why suddenly people are starting to talk about Trump again, we're going to get to Bronze Al Gore in just a second. If you wonder why they're still talking about Trump and why they can't let the insurrection that nobody brought a gun to that was over in an hour, why they can't let it go, it's because of Orange Man. They need...
Dude, we don't know if people were concealed carrying or not. Nobody started firing.
Him. If this was Brokeback Mountain, that would be Jake Gyllenhaal saying to, what's his name? Who is the Joker in Heath Ledger? Saying to Heath Ledger, I can't quit you. I think he said it to him. Who said I can't quit you to the other? Who said it? I think it was Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, Jake.
You know what's really complicated, Dave, is when somebody's in a relationship with somebody whose name isn't the same as their name. I know your husband is also named Dave, so like, you have to understand that other people are in relationships with people who don't have the same first name as them. So it is a little confusing, the plot of Brokeback Mountain, because there were two like discrete individual people with different names. I understand.
Gyllenhaal said to Heath Ledger, I wish I could quit you or something like that. He wanted to quit him. You know what I mean? It wasn't easy to be gay back in the mountains back then. Okay.
Back in the mountains.
That's the relationship that these people have with Donald Trump. They wish they could quit him, but they can't quit him because they love him. and they need him, and they want to sleep with him. All right, let's move on.
Ew. Ew. I could have a threesome with Dave Rubin and his husband because my name is also Dave, and so Dave wouldn't have to remember any other names. Everything would be fine. Anyway, that's the show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into the podcast. Live listeners, hang out. We're not going anywhere. I don't say this enough at the end of the show. If you don't want to deal with Discord or whatever, you can call in. The phone number is 415-903-7539. That's 415-903-PLEX. You can call during this show and Local Love. We also take shows during sometimes Catterday. And yeah, you can support the project at patreon.com/echoplex. If you do that at the $5 level or above, right into your inbox comes a link to the full audio capture of this show, Local Love, the Intellectual Dollar Tree, and Down Ballot. And that includes Conspiracy Bingo after Down Ballot. That's all the audio. And if you're crafty, you can get the full audio. You can get the full show yourself by being crafty. Also, anybody, you don't have $5 a month or you just don't want to give it to me, just email me. I'll hook you up. I'm not really actually paywalling some shit over $5. What kind of weird shit is that? So I know this song's been getting a bit of a workout, but this is Boomers. It's by Periscope. This song is the jam. Periscope is great. If somebody can hit exclamation point Periscope in the chat, everybody check out Periscope. They're a great band. Matt's been a good friend of ours for years. And this is a song about some of our parents. My parents are baby boomers, but they ain't like the people in this song. And we'll be right back with Red Light.